Welcome to the Area First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. Have you ever shared your testimony with someone? In its simplest form, your testimony is your story of how God has changed your life. Sharing your story is one of the most powerful tools we have when it comes to telling people about the love of Jesus. But many of us haven't shared our testimony before, and if you haven't, it might be because doing so seems pretty intimidating. What exactly do we say? Would anyone actually care about my story? Today we're beginning a new series called Tell Your Story, and for 3 weeks we're going to focus on the power of our testimony. And we're going to get started today with the basics. How exactly do I tell my story? Pastor Danielle Frano, the outreach pastor at Erie First, will be sharing a practical, step-by-step method for deciding what to share and how to share it, along with understanding why it's so important to tell your story to others. It's a great message, and we think you're going to really enjoy it. So let's get started today. Pastor Nicole starts us off by introducing our series, and then we'll be joined by Pastor Danielle Frano.
We're starting a new series today called Tell Your Story. We're a church full of individual stories that all tell the story of God. I did a little research this week. Surprising. Okay, I'm always doing research. But the term testimony comes from a Hebrew word that means to do again. And so your testimony, your story, shows people that God is in the business of doing again and again and again. And so if God did it for you, he can do it again. Not just for you, but for other people. So in this series today, you're going to hear from Pastor Danielle. Next week, we're really excited to host some incredible missionaries who were actually trapped in Sudan in the latest civil war. You won't want to miss that. Get here next week, bring a friend, because the miracles that they experienced in Sudan are going to blow your mind. But you're going to hear about the power of telling your story. You don't have to get trapped in Sudan to be able to have a testimony, but you want to get here every week. You want to bring someone with you. One really important piece of this series that Pastor Danielle and I work together on this week will require participation, right? We want to engage and activate our faith in a really practical way. And so we've set up something that we're calling story circles. Now, if you're like, that sounds so like preschool, that's because we were preschool moms once, okay? But we're gonna call them story circles. We're not anymore though. Praise, hallelujah. All right, so we made it. But what a story circle is a group of people, 8 to 10 people, who gather together for a one-time experience. So we're just asking you to do this one time. And in this circle, there's a leader who guides through the conversation and gives every person a chance to tell their story. The story of how God was faithful and good, the story about their lives. And so you won't just have the opportunity to tell your story, you're gonna get to hear other people's stories too. And since our church is so full of amazing, incredible stories that will encourage you that God did it for this person so God can do it for you, I wanna encourage you to jump in on one of these story circles. You can sign up at eriefirst.org/story circles today. There's all kinds of different time slots. We did them in the morning, in the night. We did some on Zoom. We tried to do so many different options so no one could ever say, there's nothing that works for me. So don't miss the opportunity. Meet someone new, several people new in our church family. Hear the testimony of how God can do it again. I know you'll be encouraged, so make sure you sign up today. All right? Will you guys just give a big welcome to Pastor Danielle this morning as she kicks off this series?
Hello, good morning. As Pastor Nicole said, I'm Pastor Danielle, and I'm your missions pastor here at Erie First. I'm super pumped to start off the series with you, so let's go ahead and dive in to learning how to share our story. We'll start in the book of Acts. If you have your Bible, pull that out. You pull out your phone through your Bible app. It's this scene in Acts where the apostles are questioning and focusing on all the wrong things. In Acts 1:6-8, they ask, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the apostles were interested in this moment in politics and the end times, and they wanted to know whether or not Jesus was going to restore political independence to the nation of Israel. And Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus redirects their thinking. they are commanded to focus their energies and on evangelizing the world. He gives them one very specific task, to be his witnesses. There are many things that we should all be doing, that believers should do, that we can and we should do. But witnessing for Jesus is our main job. Politics and poverty, racism, crime, violence, oppression are all super serious problems, obviously, and they are worth addressing. But the Bible, however, tells us that what lies behind these outward symptoms is a deeper problem, and that is sin. Sin is the deepest problem facing every person on the face of the earth. And if we attack the sin, we get rid of the poverty, the disease, the violence, the oppression. And the only solution to sin is the gospel, right? So repenting of our sins and professing our faith in Jesus as the Son of God is the only solution to the universal problem of sin. However, the only way to get the chance to profess our faith in Jesus is to hear the gospel message. Therefore, no one can be saved apart from Jesus, and no one can be saved apart from hearing who he is and what he has done. Those who never hear the gospel have no hope of salvation. There is no plan B. Do you hear that? There is no plan B. There are many ways to spread the gospel, but today I'm going to tell you the best way. Now, this isn't my idea. It's from the Bible, but it's also from my own personal experience from Asia to New York City, talking to white people, black people, brown, whether drug addicted, sex addicted, Muslim, Hindu, living in the slum to the suburbs. There is one thing that can reach through all of that. Are you ready? Everyone ready to hear it? It's God's secret weapon, the most important tool in the toolbox, the very thing that will cast away the enemy and bring evil to its knees. It's a thing that will remind someone that's struggling in a marriage to stay, that will bring a son that's fallen away back to church and will give a dying person hope. Are you ready? Here's the thing, the best thing. It's you. Your story. Your testimony is the best way to spread the gospel. Now, you may appear to be an ordinary person, but you have power inside of you. You are living proof of the testimony of Jesus. You're living proof of being irreversibly and radically changed by Jesus Christ. How exciting is that? Personal testimonies are one of the most influential tools the Holy Spirit uses to stir up spiritual interest and point people towards Christ. There's no more powerful way to communicate the gospel than by sharing our story. Not because we're so great, but Jesus is so great. We are modern day witnesses to God's abilities. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses." Being his witness is simply reporting our personal experiences with the Lord. In a courtroom, what would happen if the witness took the stand, was asked for his testimony, but never opened his mouth? See, now the same scenario happens in our lives every day. Every day. And there comes a time when we have to do more than post Christian memes on social media or wear a cross necklace with our favorite Christian t-shirt. You know, sooner or later, you'll have to open up your mouth and speak. You have to testify. You have to tell what Jesus has done in your life. Tell your story. Be a witness. On six different occasions through Acts 22 through Acts 26, Paul used his testimony to share the gospel instead of quoting scripture. Interesting, right? See, many people won't accept the authority of the Bible, but they'll listen to a personal story. And it's hard to convince an unbeliever to believe something that they can't physically see or understand. Now, I could be told over and over again that purple unicorns are appearing. But until I actually see with my own eyes or experience it, I'm not gonna believe it. You can say, but Pastor Danielle, there are purple unicorns. Here's how they were created. Here's a book about them. If you just believed in them, your life would be so much more magical. Listen, I don't care what information is out there about purple unicorns. Stop talking to me about them, right? As a matter of fact, I prefer not to be around you anymore if you keep telling me about those purple unicorns. And yes, I'm comparing the gospel to purple unicorns. Because coming from a former unbeliever, Jesus was no different to me than a purple unicorn. Now, I would hear scripture and it sounded like another language. All I could hear was the these and thous and those and hell and hate and judgment, judgment, judgment. Stories make people real. Shared stories are the bridge that Jesus can walk across from your heart to their heart. And we cannot allow our attitude and role as Christians to ruin our relationships with people. 1 Peter 3:15 through 16 says, "Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect." Gentleness and respect. Before we dive into the practicality of how to share our story, I really want to touch on our heart posture first. See, being a Christian doesn't automatically make us loving and friendly. And as a matter of fact, statistically, the longer people go to church and sit in the pews and walk with Jesus, the fewer their interactions are with people living far from God. They become cocooners. Men and women who rarely step outside their warm and safe and comfortable Christian circles. But see, we should be rubbing shoulders with people that are far from God in order to bring them into our circle. Unfortunately, we generally prefer to be around people that are like us, right? And we feel threatened by people that are different than us. And honestly, besides confidence, prejudice, and preconceptions form the biggest wall we have to confront when we seek to reach people around us. And this wall is two-sided. We have prejudice about others, and they have their own about us. But see, our stories, our testimony, break these down. Stories give opportunity to share what we're going through. We find that pain and suffering is diverse. But listen, thankfully, salvation is diverse too. And as we share our stories, we learn about each other's cultures and experience. And this gives us a glimpse into other people's heart. It helps us approach people with grace and love versus judgment. A lot of times we tend to think that our way is best. And when we run into someone that's different than us, our natural tendency is to think that we're right and they're wrong. But see, different is not always wrong. Sometimes different is just different. There's no moral difference in whether you eat with a fork or chopsticks or your hands, right? Jesus and his disciples almost certainly ate with their hands, not with forks. And honestly, if the Bible does not speak clearly to something, begin with the assumption that it's simply different, not that it's wrong. We never want to be quick to approach someone with an attitude of superiority. People will listen far more to someone that they know loves them and cares about them than someone who thinks that they're better than them. During one of our Kingdom Builder trips, we were visiting homes in the slums in Cambodia, and a dear friend of mine that lived on the mission field pulled me aside and said, "Listen, some of the people on your team are making faces as we walk into these people's homes and see some of the conditions. They're making comments about the dirt and the food." I felt terrible. I said I was sorry and I would speak to the team. She said she understands that the conditions aren't the same there as in the United States, and that some things are just not as clean as we might be accustomed to, but it was their home. I felt horrible, and I made sure this didn't happen again. So the next time we brought a team somewhere, we went to Philly, and we pulled up the van, and the van was full of people, you know, our team, and we pull up to Kensington, and we look out the window, and it's filled with heroin addicts and pregnant women using and horrific conditions, and we all get outside the van, and the team's staying there, and I look around at the team, and this is them. All smiles, right? All smiles. As we venture into the world of sharing our story, we're undoubtedly going to encounter things that are different to us, and sometimes we just need to fix our face and smile. Because see, if we want to effectively minister, we have to begin to see with eyes of compassion. We don't want to offend people before we even get a chance to tell our story. Now, Jesus identified with the poor. He lived and he walked among them. If we want to make a difference, if we want to make an impact to those people around us, just like Jesus, just like everything else, Jesus is our best example. He ministered cross-culturally. To cross over from eternity to humanity was a much bigger shift than any of us will experience going from the west side of Erie to the east side, right? There are no groups of people on the planet who are outside of God's saving purpose, and there's no types of people who are beyond his power to save. Think about the people that you regard as your enemies. What about the ones who you don't want to come live in your neighborhood? Or the people or places that you don't want to visit. Those are the people that God loves and cares for. And we are required to love and care about them too. Our story connects us to the people Jesus commanded us to love. Living life to make Jesus look good and spread the gospel means we are constantly on the lookout for opportunities. Whether we're in the grocery store, doctor's office, kid's soccer game, whatever, Jesus will give us opportunities to share our stories in these settings. Then from a stage, we'll have more of those opportunities. So today we're going to learn to share in 3 minutes or less for those quick encounters. We want you to be prepared to share your testimony wherever and however the need arises. So as we share our story, one of the most important things is to be sensitive to describing experiences in such a way that the person you're talking to can understand. You want to use part of your story that your new friend will best relate to. You want to ask yourself in these situations, what part of my story would be especially meaningful to this person? And you'll want to try to stick to one thing, one struggle. If you're talking to someone that has a broken marriage, talk about your marriage struggles. Someone with addiction, talk about your addiction. This helps people walk away from your story remembering one main idea. Loading your testimony with multiple main points makes your story pretty muddy. It's much more likely to stick with people when there's a single memorable theme. And remember, when you're sharing your story, the goal isn't to glorify you. It's to glorify God and bring hope to the person that you're talking to. So it may not be what you want to share, but it'll be what you need to share. And we also want to avoid using Christian slang. Those words, believers, we use all the time in like our everyday Christian circles, but it makes no sense to anyone else. Also known as Christianese. Words like fellowship and sanctified, saved, the altar. The gospel can be confusing to people. If you said to someone, I went to the altar and was saved, I'd be like, saved from what? What was at the altar? What were they sacrificing at the altar that you needed saved from, you know? Like people that don't understand our language, we could be confusing to them. So when sharing our story, we want to avoid the use of any language that anyone who's never been to church or read any Christian literature can understand. And this includes quoting Bible passages. We're trying to be clear about what we're communicating, and we need to understand the importance of speaking a language that can be easily understood. We want anyone and everyone to have intellectual access to what we're saying. Finally, describe experiences, places, and people accurately and ambiguously, and don't obsess or get stuck on details. For example, instead of trying to give specific ages of when things happen, you can just say at a young age or after I grew up, okay? So go ahead and grab, every one of you should have got this handout when you came in today. Go ahead and grab that and turn to the side that says my story. Now, sharing your story in this format that we gave you helps to keep it short, concise, and easy to remember. Because communicating too many details about your life can distract listeners from the central point, which is how you met Jesus. Now, in each of these questions, you'll want to answer in 3 sentences or less. And this helps you to be brief and stick to a main theme. Your goal should be to share your testimony, your story, in 2 to 3 minutes or less. All right, so let's review this together. We'll start with number 1. What was my life like before I accepted Jesus? This is where you'll answer, what kind of person was I socially, spiritually, and emotionally before I encountered Jesus? The memory joggers listed will help you remember things in each area. So as you're trying to answer that question, look through some of those questions to help prompt different things that have happened in your life that you can list. Number two, how did I realize I needed Jesus? This is where you'll answer, what happened to cause you to question your lifestyle? Or how did God reveal your need for him? This is such a critical moment in sharing your testimony because it could be exactly what the other person may be dealing with right now. It's this moment that your story can help them understand that they are not alone, that there is hope. And this is where you might see tears. And listen, I always say that making someone cry isn't always a bad thing. Actually, if you see tears, you've struck gold. You've hit a heart chord. Number three, how did I commit my life to Jesus? What happened when you encountered Jesus? Even if the conversion was gradual, the testimony should still have a concrete moment or turning point for the audience to grasp. Now, if there were other people involved in bringing you to Jesus, which for most of us, that's the case, you can mention them, but you want to remember to focus on what Christ did. It's important to remember that Jesus is the main character in your testimony. And for those that grew up being a Christian, this could be a moment where the gospel really set in, or you started your own personal relationship with him. Like you got to know him for yourself, not what your grandma taught you, or when you were forced to come to church, you heard from a sermon, right? This is the moment that you entered that personal relationship with Jesus. Finally, number four, what difference has Jesus made in my life since then? For this question, the answer to this is you'll want to think of some tangible, concrete ways God can be glorified through your life. And emphasize this part of your testimony because the listener needs to know the significance of a relationship with Jesus. If people aren't pointed to Christ, they'll be pointed in another direction. And that will fail them, right? So guide others to place their faith in Jesus in this moment and not you. The gospel, not your testimony, is the power that leads to salvation. If you haven't shared the gospel in your testimony, in your story, you haven't really shared your testimony. The gospel is your testimony, okay? So you'll use this as a format. I encourage you to take this home and utilize the memory joggers to help remember certain points of this. Remember, the purpose of telling your story is not about you, it's about God. People today have very low tolerance for long-windedness. How many of you know that? 10-second TikToks, 30 seconds is way too long. Don't do that. So you want to make sure that you are being concise. One of the things I've learned over the years, well, believe it or not, my occupation was not always pastor. Crazy, right? At one time, I worked as a telemarketer, and I worked my way up as supervisor of sales. Thank you very much. I was very good. And a key tip that I learned is don't talk yourself out of a sale. Right? You've got their attention, communicated the main point. Now tell them why they need your product. And in this case, Jesus is our product. And if you keep talking, you're going to lose them. So being concise, using this format helps people to stay engaged. People are selfish. They want to know how your experience relates to them. How can this Jesus guy make a difference in my life? I mean, that's great that he did that in your life, but what about me? I like to use KISS in this. How many people have heard KISS before? The K-I-S-S. Keep it short. Ah, you thought I was going to say simple. It's short. Keep it short, silly. Tricky, right? You should be able to fit your story on one side of a 3x5 index card. This is a tip, and you should totally carry it around for practice. You can read that card and continue to look at it, but it should fit on one side. And if you find yourself having a hard time with this, it could be really helpful to share with a friend and get their feedback on what's relevant and what isn't. And this is why I really want to encourage you to participate in the story circles that Pastor Nicole just told you about. Jump in more than one, use it as practice, get used to sharing, get confident with sharing. Practice builds confidence. Action cures fear. So you'll want to read it out loud many times, making frequent eye contact in the mirror or with another person. The more you share, the more comfortable and confident you'll become. As you ask God to give you opportunities to share, He will, I promise. You'll come across many different people that will relate to different aspects or times in your life. And no matter how much it varies, depending on the person you talk to, keeping this timeline and flow to your story will help. Your life before Christ, how you met Him, and what your life is like now. And eventually, you'll know your testimony by heart without using the index card or the outline in front of you. And that's the goal. We want to be ready to share and bring the hope of Jesus to anyone at any time. And honestly, you know the best way to remember your testimony? The best way is to stay grateful. Truly, in a constant mode of, God, I remember, but thanks to you, I'm no longer there. I remember where I came from, but because of you, Jesus, I'm not going back. You have a story for every single experience where God has helped you. We have our come to Jesus moment and then our Jesus, I'm back again moment, right? And I call this a million little miracles. The bite-sized stories that bring hope, and they should constantly be on the tip of your tongue to share. On the back of your handout, you'll see titled A Million Little Miracles, and these are just prompts for you guys to go through. It's good to stay grateful. It's good to keep what Jesus has done in your life on the tip of your tongue. There are no coincidences. Jesus does everything on purpose. You can put on there, I once was, but now I've found Jesus, so I'm. You get it? Where were you then, and where are you now that you have Jesus? What were you struggling with before, and what has He delivered you from? Keeping these things will help you remember that. Take the time and write them down. People who actually write out their story become more confident in telling it to others. See, Satan wants to keep us silent about our struggles. But when we bring those things into light, we enable others to speak freely about their own issues. How has He changed you? Because how He's changed you can change someone else. Isn't that amazing? The very reason why you may have gone through a situation is to help someone out of theirs. This past January, I went to Spain with Project Rescue, an anti-trafficking organization, and one of our Kingdom Builders partners. And I spent time in an aftercare home with women that were trafficked. And these women had lost their children and their lives and really their dignity. One of them was even tricked by their own family members to leave their country and come to Spain to work for a growing cleaning company. They were promised this great opportunity to make a ton of money and send it back to their families and children. And they arrived in Spain and walked into their first apartment to clean and didn't leave that place for a year. Beaten and tortured and sold over and over again. We sat around a table with all these women, and we heard story after story. They were in this beautiful aftercare home, and all they wanted to do was leave and go back to their old life because it was all they thought they deserved. The ladies that were with me were encouraging them and giving them scriptures and telling them it would get better. And I was quiet. I was just listening. I mean, I kept feeling like I should say something, but things kept going through my head like, They don't want to hear from me. They already look kind of annoyed. They don't want to hear from this United States pastor about her life. Everyone else is telling them what they should be doing. Who am I to give advice to these women? And then I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit, and he whispered, "Tell your story." And this overwhelming feeling came over me. As Pentecostals, we know that feeling. And I looked up at the women, and I said, "I get it. I get it. I've done terrible things to myself and people around me. And for a long time, drugs and alcohol and destructive behavior was all I wanted to do because it just kept me numb from feeling everything. And I tried over and over to get better, but it was so hard. But then I met friends that were full of joy and they were sober. And they told me about Jesus, the Son of God. They said he could forgive me of everything I've done and bring me freedom from my pain. So I placed my faith in Jesus. He died for my sins and rose again so I could start new. I looked up and all I saw was tears at the table. The Holy Spirit struck gold. We prayed for each one of those ladies to accept Jesus and rededicate their life to him because of a story. Don't allow the enemy to tell you you're not capable, you're not deserving. Sometimes we might be tempted to think that our story isn't exciting enough, but that's just the devil trying to keep you silent. That's not true. Whether you have this riveting testimony of life before and after Christ, or you've lived your whole life as a Christian and fell away at some point, whatever it is, God has chosen to work in your life in a particular way. Every single ounce of our pain is turned into purpose if we allow it. We have an obligation, church. Listen, we have an obligation. This is why we go. This is why we go with our action and our attitudes. This is why we go and we give with our time and our money, because none of it is even ours. None of it's ours. Every ounce of who we are and how we were created and everything that we've gone through and been delivered from, it's not ours. It's not for us. Every ounce of our being is for the Lord, and that includes our story. So let's go share it. If everyone could stand and let's pray. And I'm praying along with you right now. I'm lifting up my hands to the Lord and saying, Jesus, empower me. Give me strength and confidence to talk to the people around me, to share my story, to talk about what you've done in my life and other people's life. God, give me the boldness to talk to someone in a grocery store. So, Father God, we give you our lives. There was a moment at some point in our life where we said, Jesus, we want you in our life. And now, God, we are ready to share our lives with others. We are ready to share our stories, the stories that you've given us. God, the stories that all the little miracles that you've brought into our life. All the little things that some people will call coincidence and we say, no, 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 no. It is a miracle because Jesus did it in my life. And God, we want to make you look good. We want to glorify you. We want people standing up for the right things and being delivered from that poverty and all the things they struggle with because of your precious name. So God, as the church, I ask that you empower us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you give us the words to say when we're talking to people, that you show us the moments in our story that will relate to the people that we're talking to, that you will open up doors that we can walk through to talk to people and share our story. God, I ask that you remove things in our schedule and our lives so we can make time to share our stories these next few weeks with our church family. God, we always have time for you. And so we thank you, Jesus. We give you our lives and our story. And I'm so excited. God, I am so excited for the testimonies that we're going to hear of people that have shared their story with others. I'm excited for the spots in this room that are empty to be filled with people that hear our story and come to church because they want to know more. I am receiving that right now, Father God. So, Father, we love you and we praise you. Amen. All right, guys. Go share your story, participate in the story circles, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.